Hello and welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you and yours are having a marvelous Wednesday. Yep, we've hit hump day. Why is there a camel in the studio? It is the 24th day of June 2020. And I don't care what anybody says, life is good. Here in the United States, we have it better than any other nation on earth. People are coming here from everywhere to be part of what we have. People are coming here from everywhere to escape what progressives say is wrong with America. And yet, people are coming here. Just remember that when you see people tearing down statues and doing bizarre things, attacking police officers, suggesting that we change the names of sporting events and states, that when principals get booted out because they see things clearly than rather following the progressive narrative. And when a state issues orders for everyone to wear protective face masks except a certain oppressed class of people. Just remember that people are coming here. People are illegally crossing our southern border to come here because life is better here than it is where they are. And if life is better here, why are these people doing all of the foolish things that they are doing? Because they've been lied to, they've been indoctrinated, they've been brainwashed. And we were warned about this years upon years ago and chose not to listen. That is what you need to remember. Things are so much better here than anywhere else, and we don't ever need to forget that. Never. Just remember that. People are risking their lives to come here. People have made makeshift boats and rafts out of whatever they could find to escape the perfection of Cuba, to come to the United States of America. People have traveled from continent to continent to find their way into Mexico, to be escorted illegally across our border, sometimes in the dark of night, because it's better here. It's better here. Never forget that. The people who are telling you all of these lies about our history, they don't want you to remember that because it's to their advantage for you not to remember that. That's why they've changed what they teach our children in school about our history. I don't know if you're aware of this, but your kids aren't being taught American history anymore. They're being taught progressive opinion of American history. Progressive opinion of American history. When you look at their textbooks today, you see them picking things apart and talking about the mistakes we've made as we've grown as a nation. And they ignore the fact that every nation, as it has from its birth to its current age, has made missteps, has made mistakes, has done things wrong. But the United States of America, above all others, has grown and prospered and rescued people around the world from certain death, from various causes, whether it be war, pestilence, famine. The United States is a beacon in this world. And there are those, because they hate us, want that beacon extinguished. And you and I have to remember that the reason all of those people are alive today is because we were there when their nation needed us. For whatever reason, whether they needed medicine, whether they needed military aid, whether they needed somebody to come and dig wells for them so that their people wouldn't die of dehydration and their crops wouldn't die, whether they needed somebody to come in and explain to them why their livestock was dying, people to come in and treat their medical needs. We've been there for the world. Always been there for the world. We don't go in unless we're asked. And when we're asked, we go with haste, with all of the help we can muster. Sure, there are those among us, politicians, who will step out of line and insist that we have wars. Oddly enough, if you look at your history, what history you can find today that hasn't been tainted by the progressives, you'll find that the people who keep insisting on wars are progressives. They step in front of the microphones and the cameras today and condemn others for endless wars. But when you actually look at the facts, it's theirs, they and theirs, who have been behind keeping us involved in places where we should not be. Just a little note to start things off today. America is the greatest nation in the world, and the world would be lost without us. And that's not a statement of arrogance or pride. Well, it is a statement of pride. I'm proud of my country. But it's not arrogance. It's just fact. We've been there when we've been needed. Throughout our history, we have stepped in to make the difference when asked. And today, people, ignorant of our past because the progressives have scrubbed the truth from our history lessons in schools, people are gathering in places wanting to tear statues down simply because they represent a history they don't recognize. They represent lies they've been told. And around the nation, we're watching ignorant, angry people face off with police officers and attempt to scrub our history, just as deceived people around the world have done time and time again as socialism takes over nations. It happened in Cuba. It happened in Venezuela. Just look. It's happened everywhere socialists have come in and taken charge. Usually the pattern is they whip people up and get them angry, and they tear down the statues of the people who went before because they're lied to and told that those people caused all the problems they're suffering today. And then they take over the education system and indoctrinate children from then on. That's sort of flipped over here in America. We've watched as progressives have worked their way into our education system. The hippies from the 60s who were toking their joints and protesting are now in academia, and they're teaching our children, and they're setting policy for education. They're in government. And those people have changed education slowly but surely, a lot like turning the pot up slowly under the frog, until we're at the point we are at now, where they're teaching things that are just totally and completely out of focus, and many things which are completely irrelevant and sometimes completely untrue. And so our children are learning things that just aren't so. They need to learn the lessons about how to succeed the way we've succeeded as a nation. And when they're told about the mistakes we've made, those mistakes need to be a learning experience so they know what not to do in the future. And those learning experiences don't need to be scrubbed from the public square. We need those statues. We need those plaques. We need those reminders of where we went wrong. Because all history is important. All of it. If you scrub some of it because it's inconvenient to your cause, then you're lying to yourself and the world. All history is important. And I think I hit a key thing there, honesty. We have to be honest about what's happened in our country and what's happening around us even now. And we have to stop responding emotionally with knee-jerk reactions. Here's an example. You know, the story went all over about a noose being found in the garage of NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace. He's a black man. Many decried the incident. Media called it a hate crime. Drivers came out in an emotional show of support for Wallace. The FBI was called in to investigate the incident. The verdict? It was all a misunderstanding. The noose had already been there long before Wallace was assigned that garage. It wasn't a hate incident directed at him. The FBI released a statement about the NASCAR noose incident at Talladega, indicating it was a misunderstanding. No crime was committed. The noose was already there as early as last year. The Wood Brothers Racing Team, which used that garage stall last year, had an employee who recalled seeing the rope tied like a noose. Back then, NASCAR released a statement. The FBI has completed its investigation at Talladega Superspeedway and determined that Bubba Wallace was not a target of a hate crime. The FBI report concludes, and photographic evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope fashioned like a noose had been positioned there since as early as last fall. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignment. We appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation and are thankful to learn that this was not an intentional racist act against Bubba. We remain steadfast in our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all who love racing. As many have pointed out, it's apparently common on many of the NASCAR garages to have a rope with a loop that might look a bit like a noose to help to pull down the rolling door of the garage. That's good to hear. Another lesson for media to wait for all the facts to come in. Stories often turn out to be mistaken or false upon further investigation. This is similar to the story from Oakland, California, of a noose found in a tree. It turned out to be exercise aids. Somebody, a local black man, had actually hung in the trees for working out. Will the media learn the lesson of waiting for all the facts? Of course not. Because, as I've told you many times, the media is not concerned with the truth. The news media is concerned with the number of people they can get interested in what they're showing or talking about. That's what the media is concerned about. It's all driven by money. Money made on advertising dollars, advertising dollars driven by ratings, ratings driven by sensationalism. They'll never learn that lesson because it's not a lesson they want to learn. They want a bigger bottom line, so they will always go for the sensational. Always. But what about Bubba Wallace? Bubba Wallace actually appeared on CNN with Don Lemon. His take? It was a noose. It doesn't matter why it was there. It doesn't matter when it was put there. Nothing, no fact matters. None. Except the fact, he says, it was a noose. It doesn't matter that other garages all over the complex have loops in the bottoms of their, in the ends of their rope to make it a bit easier to grab hold and pull. It doesn't matter that it was done when the last racing season, apparently, was in play. It doesn't matter. What matters is that he's black and a rope in his garage area had been tied into the form of a noose. Now, I can think of a handful of reasons why somebody might tie a rope into a noose. Absently doodling around while waiting on something, rope in hand. Hey, can I tie that knot I saw? Some kid coming by who's seen nooses and thought, hey, I bet I can tie one in this rope. There are literally hundreds of reasons it could have been there. And none of them are racist. None of them have to do in any way, shape, or form with race. But none of that is considered in this current time, because everything is racist. Because being the victim gives you certain advantages. And in Bubba Wallace's case, that advantage was something he couldn't have paid for. Not with all the winnings in the world. That was publicity linked with sympathy. Because he is now officially a victim.
The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
That's true. It's absolutely true. It is without a doubt true. And it all started, well, it started a long time ago, but it really got a good dose of fuel back in 2008.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
During the Obama campaign, a lot of people ignored warning signs. A lot of people. Swayed by the emotional possibility that they could help elect America's first black president, a lot of people ignored the warnings that had been given to them that this man's past had been shaded and hidden, that this man has questionable contacts. He is linked to domestic terrorists. He has long-term relationships with Marxists, that this man was possibly dangerous to the United States of America. And this man could not have been elected if he was only elected by black Americans. 13% of the population is not going to win an election. So the argument that America is racist is foolhardy at best. Enough Americans voted for Barack Obama that he won, not once, but twice. And most of those people turned a deaf ear to the warnings. Most of those people said, that's just conspiracy theory. But even back then, he was laying the groundwork for what's happening right now.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And that's what it was all about. Fundamentally transforming the United States of America. You've heard me say this before, and I'm not the only person to have said this, but you do not fundamentally transform something you love. You restore it. If you love something, you will lovingly restore it to its prime, to its former greatness, if you love something. If you don't, you'll transform it. You'll see it as a foundation to build on, to create something else, which is precisely what has been done.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Since 2008, we have watched the left grow more and more bold and less worried about showing exactly where they're coming from, who they are, and what they're all about. And today, leftists in politics, the Democrat Party, is openly advocating defunding police departments, restricting the abilities of police officers to control violent criminals, and in some cases, even saying they're going to eliminate the police in some cities. The result? people who have been programmed by progressive lies for a generation or more are in the streets beating policemen, hurting police officers, trapping them, as happened in Tampa Saturday, Tampa, Florida. Overhead footage of a chaotic and violent gathering in Tampa, Florida on Saturday shows police officers being driven back by large crowds of people in what the city's police chief is titling a setup. In a press conference following the incident, Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan told police officers that his officers His officers were ambushed by the crowd of people and targeted with bottles and glass. Quote, "It's an ambush. I have no other way to describe it. When there are that many people out there, and clearly no one had been shot, it was just a setup to get the cops there." Officers originally responded to the scene after there were reports of shots fired with a possible victim. But when they arrived on the scene to investigate, they weren't able to locate a victim. Instead, the crowd reportedly surrounded and harassed the officers, throwing objects and jumping on patrol cars. Two officers were injured during the incident and taken to the hospital with lacerations. Both officers are expected to be fine. The police chief noted the size of the crowd in his comments to the press. He said, "There were hundreds of them, hundreds. We ended up having to call every single police officer that was available that night to respond there from New Tampa to South Tampa." Police arrested one man during the incident, Aaron Lamar Brown. He's 25. They arrested him for violently resisting arrest and violating his probation. He was out on probation. This is a story that we're hearing quite a bit in these types of incidents, where someone who was arrested in the commission of some sort of big crime on a public scene, they have a history. The Saturday night incident was followed by a separate ambush that occurred Monday morning at a 7-Eleven when a suspect resisted arrest and attempted to take an officer's gun. The suspect also reportedly struck the officer in the face several times, leaving him with cuts and bruises. Dugan made clear that he will not tolerate violence against his officers. He said, "There have been some violent acts. People are acting out. They think they can get away with doing whatever they want toward the cops. We're going to use the necessary force to take people into custody. I think that's what people need to understand. The police, we always have everyone's back. Nobody has ours right now. And that's what I think is missing here. The cops are not going to lie down. We're going to go out there and do our job. But we're being really careful." So today, that thin blue line that protects us from those who would do evil in our society, that thin blue line, once again, is under attack. It's happened before in our nation's history, where radicals rise up and point their fingers at the cops, who usually are just doing their job, trying to protect people from the radicals with the fingers who are pointing at them. Sadly, you and I, people with right-thinking minds, people who understand what police go through, are having to sit back and watch as a tiny portion of our society is getting whipped up by the lies they've been told. They're going out with intent to do harm to those who are there to protect us.
Policemen. A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. Culled statistics, wave the fan over stinkers, underscore instances of dishonesty and brutality because they are news. What that really means is that they are exceptional, they are unusual, they are not commonplace. Buried under the froth is the fact. And the fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen misfit that uniform. And that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted. a strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig or worse behind his back? He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won, but if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer, but if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp or expect to be sued. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. A policeman must know everything and not tell. He must know where all of the sin is and not partake.
Paul Harvey from years ago. Policemen, they are the thin blue line. And that thin blue line today is once again under attack. Sure, a tiny percentage are bad. They're bad in every profession. But now we're being told the lie that they're all bad. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. The Wednesday, June 24th, 2020 edition. Good to have you along today on this midweek episode of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. I'm a little grumpy today. Can you tell? Just a touch. Just a bit. And I apologize, but the fact remains that life in America is getting weirder by the moment, and we gotta stand up. We gotta stand up and do something about it. We just have to. We have to touch base with those who we voted to represent us. We have to let them know where we stand on things. We have to be very clear with them that we are for what we ask them to do, but we're not for what's happening. So maybe more of us need to be grumpy, and we need to, we need to let those who we've elected know that their job is not a permanent situation, that we can replace them with someone who will actually stand up and do something. And I realize that the first thing we have to do is that we have to regain a majority in the House. We have to reelect a president who's actually fighting for American citizens instead of fighting for a Marxist ideology. And it's becoming more and more obvious that that's what we're up against here. You just can't deny it, that Marxism has been hiding behind curtains all over the place for a long time and pulling levers and calling the shots. And a lot like the Wizard of Oz, the curtain's been torn back now, and we see what's really going on, and we need to deal with it. Because the great and powerful Oz is not actually that great and powerful. And he needs to be exposed for who he actually is so that everybody sees. Don't you think? Yeah. I think you do. Well, speaking of absurdity, as I did a moment ago, a sports writer who has already suggested that the NFL eliminate the playing of the national anthem before games is now suggesting that the Masters Golf Tournament change its name because in the current climate, with all the sweeping changes, it's only right and just. This duty head is Rob Parker. He's made controversial statements before. like in 2012 when he asked whether former Washington Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III, who's black, was a brother or is he a cornball brother? And added, I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance. There was all this talk about he's a Republican. Before that, in 2007, Parker called Hank Aaron a coward for declining to attend when Barry Bonds broke his record for the most lifetime home runs. Here's actually what he wrote about that. He wrote, Hank Aaron is a coward. He's taking a stance but not saying what it is. There's no other way to look at it. Aaron, the home run king, is playing a neutral role in the biggest sports debate since whether hits king Pete Rose deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. It's clear Barry Bonds will supplant Aaron as the king of the long ball. Bonds is 18 home runs away from number 756, one better than Aaron. Still, Aaron says he will not be there when he drops to number two. Why? Who knows? Or more like, we all know. It comes down to accusations. Bonds used steroids, even though the slugger hasn't been found guilty. What's Aaron's problem? Well, he needs to make a stand, either denounce Bonds' attempts because he's been implicated in the steroid scandal, or embrace Bonds' accomplishment and show up. And that's what he wrote then. On Monday, Parker wrote about the Masters, which has the smallest field of the major championships with 90 to 100 players. He asserts, quote, the name, the Masters must go. The heralded golf tournament, one of the four majors, needs to go back to its original name, the Augusta National Invitational. It became the Masters in 1939. He continued, Tiger Woods, other big time golfers and corporate sponsorships should demand it. In the current climate, with all the sweeping changes, it's only right and just. Best of all, in this case, it's a simple and smooth fix. The Masters never felt good or even sounded good when you said it. When you hear anyone say the Masters, you think of slave masters in the South. There's nothing else, nothing special. You don't think of someone mastering the game of golf. When has anyone mastered golf? After noting that Augusta National admitted no African-American members until 1990 and no women until 2012 as members, the club long required, and also that the club long required all caddies to be black and banned black golfers from the Masters tournament until Lee Elder participated in 1975, Parker wrote, even at dictionary.com, one of the definitions you get for master is owner of a slave. One of, sir. One of the definitions. Not the definition. One. Not the primary definition. One. Back to something else he said. When you hear anyone say the Masters, you think of slave masters in the South. There's nothing else, nothing special. You don't think of someone mastering the game of golf. Really, sir? That's exactly what I think when I think of the Masters tournament. My first and only thought is these are those who have mastered the game better than anyone else. That's exactly what I think. Why do I think that? I think that because I'm an adult. I think that because I'm a rational individual. I think that because I'm an honest person. What I think is those guys playing on that course represent the best of the best. They are the ones who have mastered the game of golf and risen to the level that they can play in this one tournament, which showcases their talent to the thrill and enjoyment of golf fans around the world. Full disclosure, I'm a duffer. I'm not a golfer. I have played. I haven't played in the last few years because of my knees. You know the story if you've been listening for a while. But I walk by my golf clubs in the garage every day and brush dust off of them and apologize to them. I'm so sorry, but I can't take you out today. That's going to change very soon because I'm getting back into the shape where I can do that. But I am attuned enough to the psyche of those in the golf world to know that the Masters does mean something to them. It means a great deal to them. It's important. It is the Super Bowl of the sport. It truly is. The best of the best. The people who are by far much closer to mastering the game of golf than anyone else. And that green jacket means a great deal. It means something. It doesn't mean slavery or servitude. It means accomplishment and excellence. And that's what that term means. And adults, rational, right-thinking, honest adults, think of that when they hear the term master in conjunction with the sport of golf. And this guy, this weasel, what did I call him earlier? Duty head? Rob Parker? This guy could use a good, he needs a good education. You know what I mean? This guy needs a little clarification. Sadly, what we're seeing in the world of sports now, in sports reporting, with ESPN, NFL coverage, and the like, what we're seeing there is an influx of progressive thought. Reporters and people who are venting their political spleens and lecturing us about life and the way it should be from a progressive perspective. It's one of the reasons NFL ratings have dropped so far. On one hand, they allow the kneeling. On the other hand, the sportscasters are preaching progressivism. And in general, sports fans don't tune in to be preached at. They tune in to enjoy the game. I don't know about where you live, but where I live, especially in college football, there are a lot of people who turn on the TV and also turn on the radio and turn the TV volume off and listen to a local call the game. Because when they listen to somebody who is a local or a team representative, their team's representative, calling the football game, they get what they want to hear, which is the play-by-play action and bits of information about the players on their team. They don't get the endless lecturing. They don't get the commentary that's going on. And even though I'm not a huge sports fan, when I do watch football, there have been, especially in the last couple of years, many times when I have reached for the remote control because I have finally been fed up with listening to two yahoos talk about something that's not going on the field. It's happening far too often. And far too often, what those yahoos are talking about is progressivism, social justice, things which have nothing to do with the game. In fact, in these sports, all of these sports, those who excel are both learning and teaching lessons that when you focus on the goal and you work hard, and when you get back up after being knocked down and you keep pushing towards the end, you eventually will win. But you got to keep getting back up. Sadly, that lesson is lost on those who prefer to talk about victimhood. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. jumping off into the final segment of this Wednesday edition of the podcast. Thanks so much for being there. I appreciate you making this part of your day. You know, the more I look at the news, the more I want a vacation. That's just what it boils down to. Because there's stuff that's going on in America today that just gives me a headache. It's, you know, if you're a parent, you know this feeling. Where you try to explain something to your kid, and you keep trying, and you keep trying, and you keep trying, and that kid keeps getting it wrong. And the kid's getting frustrated, and you're, as a parent, you're trying really hard not to. Because this is a learning opportunity, right? You want the child to learn what you're trying to teach them. And they keep coming back at you because they've latched onto something that's not right, but they won't let it go. And you keep trying to tell them, no, that's no, it's this way. But if you do this, then no, that's not how it works. But if you and you let them try it the way that they want to, and it fails, and they still don't get it. And Dr. James Dobson would call that a strong-willed child. Those of you who've been around for as long as I have understand what I just said. Those of you who have not, go look up Dr. James Dobson. And I'm watching that same headache that boy, I could use a drink. You know, that whole thing, that is kind of that way I feel when I look at what's going on around us right now. I'm watching a bunch of people who are refusing to learn life lessons and just listening to their friends. Well, Joey says this is the way it works. Well, Joey's a moron. Joey doesn't know anything. Joey's 10. You know, that's how this is. That's the way I see this. And the problem is that this is all a bunch of ignorant children who have driver's licenses and have made some very bad decisions in life. And I'll go back to say what I've said before, because their parents let them pitch fits on the supermarket floor. There you go. So these people are ignorant. They're proud of their ignorance. They don't know how to reason beyond their ignorance because they've never been taught critical thinking. They've just been taught what to believe, not how to think. They've been taught what to think, not how to think. If they had been taught how to think, they'd be able to reason themselves out of this wet paper sack, but they can't. And my headache's getting worse. I bet my headache's a lot like Tiffany Riley's headache. Tiffany's the principal of Windsor High School in Windsor, Vermont. Ms. Riley has faced the wrath of the PC police after failing to fully and unequivocally endorse Black Lives Matter in a Facebook post earlier this month. The backlash was so severe, she ended up losing her job. According to the Valley News, Riley's post on June 10th made it clear that she believes that Black Lives Matter. But, here it comes. But she added a caveat that caught the ire of the leftist mob. Quote, "I do not agree with coercive measures taken to get this point across, some of which are falsified in an attempt to prove a point. I do not think that people should be made to feel they have to choose black race over human race." And she adds, "While I understand the urgency to feel compelled to advocate for black lives, what about our law enforcement? She also declared that, quote, "just because I don't walk around with a BLM sign should not mean I'm a racist," end quote. Well, sadly, according to many in Windsor, including the school board, her failure to walk around with a BLM sign does make her a racist. Do you see what's happening here? This is you. The Mount Ascutney School Board, uniformly appalled by her words, voted unanimously to place Riley on paid leave until June 14th. The district superintendent, David Becker, said the district will work to put together a mutually agreed upon severance package with Riley and justified the decision to let her go by saying, quote, "It's clear that the community has lost faith in her ability to lead. Well, the progressive educators certainly have, not necessarily her community. Ridiculously, Becker said he thought Riley's Facebook page was hacked and indicated that he fully agreed with the criticism that her post was racist. He said, "I felt like a post like that with those kinds of racial overtones and what I define as pretty much outright racist in my value system, she would have never posted that." The fact that Riley's community would take such umbrage at her comments should not come as a surprise. Windsor County supported Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump by a 2-to-1 ratio in 2016. And the state as a whole keeps electing Democrat Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders. In an era when American education has become just another arm of the left, Riley's circumstances are hardly unique. Eric Thompson, a professor who taught at Moreno Valley College in California, was dismissed from his position after daring to sympathize with traditional viewpoints on marriage, gender, and sexuality. In addition to causing professors to lose their jobs, holding conservative positions can also have consequences for students who hold prominent positions on campus. Earlier this month, the president of the Florida State University Student Senate was removed from his post after daring to criticize Black Lives Matter and other liberal organizations deemed heroic by the radical left. Despite the fact that Riley went out of her way to empathize with the point of view of her opponents and offered analysis consistent with the views of many Americans, I would say most Americans, she lost her job. What happened to Riley could have a chilling effect that will cause many people to think twice about posting anything critical of Black Lives Matter, a leftist movement dressed up as an opposition to racism. That's the whole goal. With Riley's firing, diversity of opinion in education continues to shrink. According to a 2016 study from Econ Journal Watch, liberal professors outnumber their conservative counterparts by a ratio of 11.5-1 in the departments of economics, history, journalism, law, and psychology at 40 leading U.S. universities. This liberal uniformity extends to K-12 education, with research conducted by Verdant Labs finding that there are 97 Democrats for every 3 Republicans teaching English and 87 Democrats for every 13 Republicans among math and science teachers. Riley's situation is saddening but not surprising. Hopefully, what happened to her will launch a renewed movement to ensure freedom of speech in education for teachers and students alike, from kindergarten through college. Sadly, according to many in Windsor, including the school board, her failure to walk around with a BLM sign does make her a racist. What they're trying to tell you is that that your silence is racism. Your disagreement is racism. Your dissent is because you're a racist. It can't be because you're clear-headed and you see things for what they are. It can't be that it's because you are familiar with history and you understand that this kind of movement has its roots in Marxism, and it's not good for a nation. It can't be for any other reason than you are a racist. And that is what's happening inside of our education system. If you are conservative and you want to keep teaching kids, you'd better hide your conservatism. And sadly, that's becoming very common today in America. People won't wear red baseball caps, regardless of what's on them. People will not put political stickers on the bumpers of their cars. People will not openly discuss their conservatism among friends or in public places, because they know that if they do, they could very well be attacked. I'm one who has been in that situation myself on a regular basis, where I make a decision not to put a certain sticker on my car, not to wear. Actually, I've been looking at these ball caps lately that I really, really like, and I wear a lot of ball caps. But I won't pull the string. Because as much as I love the symbolism and the message, there are places that I go in my everyday life where actually wearing that could get me killed. And that's a sad thing. And that's the end of the day's podcast. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. See you then. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.